Make it right. Oh, day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Cause at night I lay in bed as I begin to cry, and my mind just failed to know exactly why. I can't explain with tongues of pain the spirit groaning deep within. It must be God here in my heart, cause I feel the pull. I feel the pull. I hear the call, and I know His Spirit moving me to yield my all. He speaks to me. Oh, I agree. Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull. I feel the pull. I hear the call, and I know His Spirit moving me to yield my all. He speak to me, and I agree. Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull. I went to hear the word, and with each line and phrase, He was calling me to give a higher praise. There's a deep call to the deep, like a gentleman pulling me. I know for sure that I reached a goal. I feel His pull. I feel the pull. I hear the call, and I know His Spirit moving me to yield my all. He speak to me, and I agree. Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull. I have one little song in my heart, a little verse of it. Goes, there are blessings you cannot receive until you know him in his fullness and believe. There are one, two prophet, when you say, I will follow Jesus all the way.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. My Lord, God richly bless you, Brother Capers. I know back in your day you was a crooner, brother, but you still got it. Amen. God richly bless you, Brother Capers. Amen. We do not have any written requests. I know my mother received a text from a distant cousin of mine. She lost her mother yesterday. So we'd like to pray for her. And then also my niece, Aaliyah, they found a tumor on her brain, and they're going to take it to Mayo's Clinic. But I believe God can do something about that right now. Amen. Amen. She's been fighting seizures for a very long time, and she get them very often right now. So we want to keep her in prayer. Amen. May I have the announcements? Praise the Lord. Before we get to the birthday, Brother Marquise and Sister Jamima had a baby on Thursday. Little Zion Israel. Hallelujah. So both mommy and baby are doing well, and we want to definitely thank the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. And we want to thank the Lord that Brother Joseph is back in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. He has a birthday coming up Saturday. Happy birthday to you, my precious brother. Hallelujah. So we have service Wednesday night at 7:30. We'll continue to stream online via Twitter, Facebook, and the church's website, john423.org. On Twitter, you can find us at Spirit and Truth T, Facebook, SAT Tabernacle. We have Brothers Virtual Prayer Tuesday at 7:30. And then we have a youth service coming up Friday, July 26th at 7:30 p.m. South Florida Choir Rehearsal will be Saturday, July 27th, and also August 17th at 6 p.m. at Bride of Christ Tabernacle over with Brother Gene in Boynton Beach. Then on Wednesday, August 7th at 7:30, we'll have communion feet washing here. Amen. So we're all ready for communion feet washing. Praise the Lord. We have the Message Believers Youth Banquet coming up Friday, August 23rd from 7 to 11 in Riviera Beach Marina. It's for single youth ages 13 to 40. Registration is open. Again, you can go to your Google app, your Google or Apple Store, Google or Apple Store, and you can download Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. Look for this logo when you go on in. You can register there. We also have the Night of Worship Message Believers Choir coming up August 24th at 6 p.m. in Palm Beach Garden at Palm Beach Gardens Community High School Auditorium in Palm Beach Gardens. Amen. And then as for our giving, we have a box in the back. As you're leaving, you can drop your giving in there. There's three ways of giving: online, Zelle, Cash App, and PayPal. We recommend that you use Zelle. What you would use, the handle you use is given at john423.org. For Cash App and PayPal, please email trustees at john423.org. And at the bottom of the screen, for those who desire to mail in your giving, the Spirit and Truth Tabernacle P.O. Box 222462, West Palm Beach, Florida 33422. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Precious Lord, we bow our hearts in thanksgiving, Lord Jesus. seeing that you bless the Fullfoot family household, Lord, with another bundle of joy, Lord Jesus. Lord of Zion, Israel has come, Lord God, to the world, Lord Jesus. And Father, we're so grateful that you placed them in the home of believers, Lord. So Father God, we ask, oh Father, that you will continue to grant wisdom, Lord, to Brother Marquise and Sister Jamima, oh Lord, on how to raise their children, Lord, how to lead them, Lord God. Father, to see the gifts in their lives, Lord, and direct them on the path that they should go, Father. Father, we ask your blessings. Keep a hedge about the family. Strengthen Sister Jamima, Lord God, and give her health, Lord Jesus, Lord, and restore her health, Lord. Father, we pray, Father God, for Tasha, Lord Jesus, my cousin, Father, losing her mother. I know her and Mark are in distress right now. And we pray, Heavenly Father, God, that you would comfort the family. You'll be with them, Lord Jesus. Father, as only you can. Friends and family can show up, and Lord God, we appreciate all of those things, Lord. But we need a Lord and Savior on the scene, Lord, to do something about it. Father, you know where it hurts deep, Lord Jesus. And one word changes everything, Lord. But Father, you promised strength for the day, Lord. Right now, they're going through something that I couldn't go through, Lord, because you didn't promise that strength to me right now. I'm not in that situation, Lord, but do what you can do that no one else can, and that's comfort, Lord. So, Father God, we pray for Aaliyah, Lord Jesus, with this tumor on her brain. Father, you see how Satan has afflicted her her entire life, Lord, having seizures, Lord, and they're getting worse and worse, Lord. But you are much greater, Lord, than any disease. You are the God that healeth all of our diseases. Father God, so we ask that you would touch both the tumor and remove the seizures, Lord. Whatever's going wrong, get down to the issue, Lord, and deal with that devil, Lord. Father, we just ask Almighty God, go to her where she is and minister to her needs. And if there be any needs represented amongst us, Lord, you know all about it. Father, we commit them to your care. Father, we bring now, Lord, our tithing and our offering into the storehouse, Lord God. And you promised many blessings, Lord Jesus. Thank you for protecting us on the road, Lord. And thank you for doing mighty things and giving us wisdom and direction, Lord, all because of giving, Lord. There are many blessings that come from many directions because of your grace. And Father, on top of that, you said that you are the God that giveth us the power to obtain wealth, Lord Jesus. So we ask, Father God, that do, Father, the supernatural in our midst, Lord. Meet the needs of your people. Be with our pastor and his family, Lord God, where they are. I pray that the reunion was great for them, Lord. So bless them, Father. And again, we ask, Father, that you will bless Brother Juan, Lord God, as he prepares his heart to minister to a believing group of people, Lord Jesus. May he be at rest, Lord. May he find comfort in the Holy Ghost, Lord, to ease his nerves, Lord God, that you may have your way. Speak, Lord Jesus. We'll be careful to give you the praise, honor, and glory for all that you accomplish. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to ask Sister Bernice to come at this time. Praise the Lord.
Let it be real. Let it be real. Let it be real. Let it be real. Everything I do for Jesus, let it be real, real, real. Let it be in love, love, love. Let it be in love, love, love. Everything I do for Jesus, let it be in love, love, love. Let it be a blessing, a blessing. Let it be a blessing, blessing, a blessing. Everything do for Jesus, let it be a blessing. Oh, let it be real. Oh, let it be real. blessing. Oh, let it be a real blessing. Everything. Let it be in love. Let it be a blessing. Let it be real. Oh, let it be real, real, real. Let it be real, let it be real. Oh, everything. Let it be real.
Praise the Lord.
Somebody say real, real. Nah, boy, I can't do it, Brother Troy. God bless you, Sister Bernice. We want it to be real. Whatever you do for Jesus, you want it to be real. Amen. Even if you're believing, you want it to be real. If you say amen to the word, let it be real. Praise the Lord. Will you all stand to your feet? We're going to get out of the way. We're going to invite Brother Juan. I'm sorry I don't remember Brother Juan's last name, but it's good to have his family in the house of the Lord. God bless you, sister, and the children. Brother Mike, God bless you, my precious brother. Good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen, amen. Amen. We're going to invite Brother Juan at this time. Let's sing this little chorus together. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound as our brother comes.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch
you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this moment, Lord. We recognize, Lord, that to be here without you, Lord, it'd be a pointless thing to do, Father. But we come here, Lord, for one purpose, and that's to praise you, Father. That's to worship you, Lord, to exalt your name, for you are the great one in our midst, Lord. And Father, you said in your word, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there in their midst. And Lord, we've gathered here, and there's more than two or three of us, Lord, and we've gathered in your name. So we believe, according to your word, Father, that you are here, Lord, to meet every need. Father, whether it be spiritual, Lord, whether it be physical, you meet every need, Father. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we ask that you take this service now under your divine control, Lord. May you be in the speaking and in the hearing, Father. May you have your way, Father, we pray. And Lord, we'll give you the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. It's good to be here in West Palm Beach. It's been a long time, about 6 years maybe, since I was last here. And we had one child and he was a baby. But it's good to be here again. And it's always nice to come to a church where there's faith. And where there's belief that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And, you know, I was back there and I was thinking about these songs that are sung. And, you know, I preached a sermon back home about being an influencer for God, right? Because in this, the word influencer is huge this day and age. Everybody wants to be an influencer. And they want to be an influencer of something or someone. But we find that the greatest influencer that ever came upon this earth was Jesus Christ. And what does an influencer do? An influencer influences another to act like them. Right? When you young people, older alike, when we go online and these influencers are there, they're trying to influence you to buy their product or to be like them. And most of the times, it's not a good thing. But when Jesus came, he came to influence a people, a bride, to be like him. Not only to be like him, but now he passes that influence on to us that we might influence others. So we sang that song, Lily of the Valley. Let me be more like you. And that should be our prayer. And I believe that should be the prayer of every believer as an individual and every church. It's more than just coming to church. It's, Lord, let me be an influencer for you. Amen. So I want to preach today on to be like Jesus. And we're going to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. To be like Jesus. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's us. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And I want to focus on this verse here. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So notice he's saying we received precious promises, that we might be partakers of the divine nature. You know, and I believe this message that we have that God sent through a prophet is a precious word that he has sent to us to do more than just have a following, to do more than just have churches, but that we might be partakers of the divine nature. Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Notice, he didn't mention a single gift. Right? He says, be partakers of the divine nature. There's only one divine nature. That's God. And he says, this is what his divine nature is. He doesn't mention a single gift. Now, gifts have their place. But I believe they should be in order. And he says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. You may have your seats. And I read this quote, and it's a very well-known quote, and it is the rising of the sun. Brother Branham says, and he, as he, being the groom, the bride has to come forth. because it's a part of him. And it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all the revelations any other has spoke of the bride. It can only manifest. He says if it does something different from the groom. So if the bride does something different from the groom, he says it isn't the bride, because she is flesh of his flesh, life of his life, power of his power. She is him. And I started thinking about this, Brother Branham, what a powerful quote that is. He says, she is flesh of his flesh. The bride, the church, is flesh of God's flesh. She's bone of his bone. She's life of his life, power of his power. And when we listen to that, when we read that, there's something that our mind goes to right away, power of his power. And we think of powerful things, raising the dead, healing the sick. And that is in the bride, because it's Jesus Christ and he's in the bride. He says she is him. But I started thinking there's more to Jesus than just healing. There's more to Jesus than just power, physical power to raise a body. There was more to Jesus than that. And that's what we want to get into, because we want to know then, what is the divine nature of God that should be in us? Because if the Holy Ghost is in you, if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you will have God's divine nature in you. So the first thing we have to find out is, what is God's divine nature? Right? Even in the Old Testament, we could see God's nature as a type when Adam came forth, because Adam was the son of God. And a son is like his father. And when Adam came forth, he was a God on earth. He was in control of everything. It was a perfect world, and out of him came an Eve. Now, Satan deceived Eve, and Eve fell. The Bible says Adam was not deceived, but Eve was deceived. And Adam had every right to leave Eve aside, and God would have destroyed her. God would have destroyed Eve because she sinned. But Adam, having the nature of God, wasn't willing to leave his bride aside to die, but instead he stepped out and took her to himself. He stepped into death to save Eve. And it's the first glimpse we see of the divine nature of God, because God loved man. And God so loved man that as soon as they fell, he gave a promise that I will redeem. That's God's divine nature. I will redeem. Now, because of sin and because of the fall, there's a law that comes into place. And if you were to look at the Old Testament and the law without Holy Spirit guidance, you would think God is an angry God. You would think God is a God of no mercy, because if somebody came to the mountain and touched it, they died. But even in the Old Testament, where there had to be a sacrifice, a lamb sacrifice, even there, God showed his mercy to some like David. David was a man after God's own heart. And when David fell in adultery, by the law, he should have died. But God's nature stepped out. He loved David and he spared him. When David came to the temple and he was running from Saul, the Bible says he took the showbread that only the priest should take, and he partook of it. He should have died. But God's divine nature was mercy. So we see that because of sin, God was forced to place forth a law. But even there in the Old Testament, we see the type of the tabernacle in the wilderness, where God's showing there's an outer court, there's an inner court, and you can be in the outer court, and there can be winds and storms, and it shakes you. He says you can come into the inner court. That no longer shakes you, but you're still not in the presence of God. But when you come into the Holy of Holies, that's where God meets you. And now the Shekinah glory is there. Nothing else matters. God's showing, I will meet you in that third place, in the soul. So what's God's desire for man? It wasn't that man should fall. God's desire in his heart toward man was to save. You know, Brother Branham said, I used to think God was angry at me, but Jesus loved me. He says, and then I found out that Jesus was the very heart of God. That means that Jesus is the very nature of God. So if we're trying to find out what is the nature of God and how should it be in us, then we ought to look at Jesus, because he was God represented in flesh, and it was God's divine nature on earth. And what did he do? What did Jesus do? He came to save.
So we find that in John 3, everybody knows this verse, John 3:16. We want to know God. Brother Branham said, he says that God made manifest in Jesus Christ, which he built a body, made his body. So he was first God above us. Then he was God in Jesus Christ. He says, thirdly, through the death of that body, he sanctified a church that he can dwell in. And then Brother Branham says, what is it? God condescending to his creation. God wants to be worshipped. The word God means object of worship. And it's God trying to condition his people. This is what this message came for. Trying to condition these people so he can get for them what he created them for. You realize God, every single service that we come to, is God trying to condition this church and the individuals to get from you what he put in you. He says he never made you to be something else besides a son and a daughter of God. He says if you have missed that of being a son and a daughter of God, you've missed the mark. So if you've missed having God's divine nature in you, you have missed the mark. If you've missed what being a Christian is, what does Christian even mean? To be Christ-like. To be Christ-like, not just in gifts and in power, but to be Christ-like in his divine nature. More than just exercising power, because anybody can exercise a power. I was just listening to the false anointed ones at the end time. They can have signs, they can have wonders, but what they can't have is the word living in them and flowing through them. But God sent this message to bring us out of Pentecost, not to leave those things behind, but a furtherance, to get closer to God, that we could build upon that. You know, I was thinking about, and I was listening to a podcast months ago about Martin Luther. No, sorry, about Luther. And about the battle that he went through. He's a Catholic priest, a monk. And the reason he's a monk is because he thinks God is mad at him. And I'm listening to this, and all I can think is, this man thinking God is mad at him. He was a Catholic, and all he did was constantly beat himself up, had to do penance. He was bound to a system. And it was causing him to look at God the wrong way. It was causing him to not realize how God looks at him. And if you can't see how God looks at you, how can you look at one another the way you ought to? And here's Martin Luther, and he starts reading and praying, and we know he was a messenger of God. And when he comes upon this scripture, the just shall live by faith. They're talking about how Martin Luther started rejoicing. And as I'm listening to that, just a podcast, but the Spirit of the Lord started coming into the car, because I realized this was revelation. This wasn't just a man reading a scripture and making up his own idea, but this was predestinated of God. And he realized that I don't have to pay for my sins, because Jesus paid for my sins. And if he paid for my sins, then I'm justified. You realize that is a part of the building of God? Which means today you are justified. Which means you don't have to pay penance. You don't have to be hard on yourself when you realize that Jesus loves you. And he gave his only begotten son. John 3:16, for God so loved. We're talking about the heart of God. God so loved the what? The world. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And verse 17 says, for God sent not his son into the world to do what? You mean the word didn't come to condemn? The word didn't come to condemn. It came to save. Not all men will receive it as a gift from God for salvation, but the word did not come to condemn. And this message did not come in this day to condemn. This message didn't come to separate. This message didn't come so that people would be think themselves something great because I have more knowledge. Because we're going to find out, knowledge does nothing for you. Without the nature of God, knowledge does nothing. You could lay hands and there could be healing and power and speaking of tongues. Without the nature of God, it means nothing. This is God's heart to man. I will send my heart. I will come down myself to save man, not to condemn man. So we want to see then, if Jesus is a representation of the nature of God and we're to be partakers of that divine nature, then what was God like in flesh? We know he raised the dead. We know he healed the sick. We know no devil could stand in his presence. But what was his personality like? How was he like to others? Right? This is an introspective service, which means we look at ourselves, not look at our neighbor, not look at the role or that family that doesn't do it like I do, but look at yourself. Brother Branham said the message didn't come to build walls, and there shouldn't be walls between churches that believe the message. There shouldn't be walls between families that sit in a church, but there should be liberty of the Holy Spirit that God saved you and he saved me. And you might sing different than me, but you're God's son. I might not be able to sing like you, but I'm God's son. But what's happened is all these churches have started looking at each other. Well, you don't do it like I do it. Brother Branham said, every single church is sovereign, which means God's in control of it all, but every church is different. That means that your church doesn't have to be like mine, and mine doesn't have to be like yours, as long as Jesus is there. And Jesus is the Word. So what was Jesus like? Zechariah 9, prophesying of him. It said, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, and he is lowly. So Jesus was lowly. He says in Matthew 11, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You mean Jesus, God made flesh, was on earth, and he didn't walk around with his chest sticking out? No, he didn't. He was meek and he was lowly. So God's divine nature is to be meek and lowly. So let's look at ourselves. To be like Jesus. He was loving. You know, in John 11, verses 3 through 5, it talks about when Martha and her sister Lazarus was dying, and they call to Jesus, and they come and say, come quickly, our brother is dying. And the Bible says Jesus loved them. Now realize, the way we look at love, and the way God's love actually is very different. Because when we think of love, I love my son, I love my children, and if they want something and they're hurt, not just want something, but they're hurt and they need help, my love to them is to go immediately to their help. And it should be. But here Jesus says he loved them, and yet he went on his way for 2 more days. If it was the way we thought of it, Jesus loves me, he should come right away. When I pray, he should be there, heal me right away. He didn't do that, but he loved them. How should we be then to be like Jesus? We're talking about Jesus loved. A rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, the Bible says, looking upon him, loved him. Now, was this rich young ruler a predestinated? No. We find out later he's in hell because he couldn't listen to the word. But that didn't change how Jesus treated him. The Bible says Jesus loved him. Which means Jesus loved even unbelievers. Jesus loved make-believers. Jesus loved everyone. Right? He came to save the world, not to condemn them. He didn't come to condemn that rich young ruler. He came and he loved him. Now, the love of Jesus, the love of God, is very different than how the world portrays it today. Because the love of God will love you and change you, and it's corrective. Brother Branham says, if God loves you, he will correct you. And it'd be like if you saw Junior on the street, and you just left him there and said, now, Junior, don't do that. But he's in danger. You ought to bring him in and teach him, maybe with a little spank, that you can't go there. It's for your good. That is the love of God. Corrective love. So he loved the rich young ruler. And he stood there, Jesus, the divine nature of God, and he hung on a tree. And they had taken a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They had put nails in his hands and his feet. They had striped him, laughed at him, mocked him, done all these things. And if there was ever a man that had a right to not love somebody and to be vindictive, it was Jesus on the cross. But the Bible says he looked upon him and he said, Father, forgive them. Think about the nature of God, that he loved them and he was forgiving. That he would look at people who hated him, laughed at him, mocked him, striped him, and he didn't say, Father, curse them. He said, Father, forgive them. How different was it than the two disciples, the sons of thunder? They came into a city, and they came with Jesus, and they rejected him, and they looked at Jesus, and they said, Jesus, should we call fire down from heaven and destroy them? And Jesus looked at them and said, you don't even know what spirit you're of. Because I didn't come to destroy, I came to save. Think about the mercy of God made flesh, even in the Old Testament, that he would come to Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was going to wipe them away. And if anybody deserved to be wiped away, it was them. And yet Abraham interceded. And he said, God, if there's 50 righteous, will you spare them? And the mercy of a merciful, forgiving God said, if there is 50, I will spare. Abraham said, 45? He said, I will spare. The nature of God, I will forgive. I will spare. He came all the way to 5. And he said, if there is 5 in all of West Palm Beach, even though there's sin on every corner, and there's homosexuality, and Satan has taken over, but if there's 5, I will spare. How different from those two disciples who had power. They had received a ministry of power. And yet they were willing to look at a people and say, I will destroy you because you won't receive me. But that wasn't Jesus. And that's not this message. That wasn't Brother Branham. You know, there might be people that come after and take the message and want to use it to beat each other up and talk about each other and take quotes and sling them at each other. Right? But that wasn't the nature of Jesus. And that wasn't the nature of Jesus today through a message. But he came to save and to forgive. Jesus was loving, merciful, and forgiving, even to those who would not accept him. To be like Jesus, then. Brother Branham says, she is power of his power. Tell me what's more powerful. For somebody to be sick to be healed, or to forgive? What's power? What's more important for the bride, to be able to exercise a gift or to have the nature of God in them and to love, to forgive, to pray for one another, not to talk about one another, not to anticipate that somebody's going to make a mistake and when they fall, see, I knew they were going to make a mistake, but to say, let me bear that load, let me pray for you, let me help restore you as Jesus restored me. Let him restore you and let it be through me, Lily of the Valley. Let your sweet aroma flow through this church. You know, the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Not them that believe will follow after signs. They will believe and the signs will follow. That means you don't have to be sign seekers. You don't have to seek gifts and power. You just believe God and watch it come. You just believe God and watch him heal your sick. Watch him save your lost. Watch him go after your sons and daughters that have gone out. You just believe God. To be like Jesus. He was so merciful. How many people are like Pharisees today that they brought a woman caught in adultery and they threw her before the word. They threw her before Jesus and they knew Moses said she should die. Jesus, the heart of God. See, in the Old Testament, she should have died. But Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to save. And the heart of God started writing in the sand. The Pharisees wanted the justice of God. And how many people are just looking for the justice of God? Pastor, they deserve to be kicked out. That family deserves to be left aside. Brother Branham said, when they draw you out, draw the circle bigger. And the Pharisees wanted God's justice. But Jesus didn't come to have justice. He came to forgive. And there's a woman that deserved death. And the heart of God said, he that is without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone, huh? He that is without sin, go ahead and text somebody about who did what. He that has never made a mistake, go ahead and run somebody over with your words. And the Bible says that every single one of those Pharisees had their rocks and they dropped them because they realized, I have sinned. I have made mistakes. And even now I'm seeking God's justice. You don't know what spirit you're of. Jesus didn't come to condemn, but to save. Jesus looked upon this woman because he knew who she was. And he knew that it didn't matter how dark it had gotten, there was a seed of God there. The same seed was in another woman. And Jesus loved her. And he went by her where the Bible says he had needs to go by Samaria. And even the disciples who had power wouldn't understand, so he sent them away. They won't understand what God, the Jesus, the heart of God is here to do. And he sat by a well at a certain time because he knew this woman's been ostracized. Nobody wants her. She's been married 6-7 times. She has sinned. That if she came into, think about it, if she came into this church today, if that woman caught in adultery, walked into this church today, how would you think? How would you feel? What would you? Would you be the Pharisee? Or would you be Jesus? She is him. She has power of his power. And he had power to forgive. And we're talking about a grand story, but how much more to forgive one another? Oh, my brother didn't shake my hand, but I forgive him. Oh, my brother talked about me. My sister talked about me, but I forgive them. Release them. Let them go. He went by the well because he knew this woman needs mercy. She might look like she has nothing to do with church, but I'm here to save. When everybody else would reject her, he said, I'll take you. Right? You've had 6 husbands. You've had 6 men in your life. Let him be that 7th man that comes and restores and makes whole. And you may have gone from denomination to denomination, from man's idea to man's idea. Why don't you let the 7th age message be what makes you whole? Yes. This is important. It is life and death. It is more important. And hear me right. It is more important than how many gifts you can exercise. It is. It is more important. So if Jesus was the heart of God, then it shows us how we should be. So this is why I said it's an introspective service. Am I to be like, we sing the song, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth, I want to be like him. And so many people are just influenced and they just want to have big meetings and power. Brother Branham said that was Pentecostal bait. Because they would sit there and they would speak in tongues. And he said he saw 2 men speaking in tongues and translating. Speaking in tongues and translating. And he said, I had a gift and I wanted to know, what is this? So he walked up and he started talking to them and discerning. And he said, one of them was a real Christian. A real man of God. Had the love of God in his heart. Exercising a gift. But he was another one also exercising a gift, and he said this man was had a wife living with another woman, had a child by another woman. And Brother Branham said as soon as he confronted him about it, he ran away. Gifts and callings are without repentance. So if Jesus loved, if Jesus forgave, if Jesus was meek and lowly, then the bride who has his divine nature, who is power of his power, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, she is him. So if he forgave, she will forgive. And if he loved those who didn't love him, she will love those who don't love her. She won't be like those 2 disciples. Let me just burn them up. That's not what the power came to do. Brother Branham said power without character is satanic. Then how important is it? How important is it? Paul talks about it. And he talks about it in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Now gifts have their place. And Paul came to this church, a Corinthian church. And when he came, he said, what is this I hear? Some of you say I'm of Apollos, some of Paul, some of Cephas, which is Peter, and some of you just say I'm of Jesus. And then he says, what is this I hear that when I come, every one of you has a tongue, every one of you has a prophecy, every one of you has something. And he says, let me set this straight. Because see, this was a church of God, but they needed to be set straight in the word. Because gifts follow them that believe. Signs follow them that believe, but they have to be placed in the right order. And Brother Branham said, how many times, and I'll read the quote later, how many people have gone after it the wrong way and they end up on the side of the road crashed? Figuratively speaking. He says, I've seen it, you've seen it. He says, many preachers. Right? Many preachers go after it the wrong way and they end up on the side of the road. Many young people go after it the wrong way and they end up on the side of the road. Because there's denominational thinking. You know that you can bring a denominational idea into the message and wrap it in message lingo, but it's still denomination? You know, when you're just seeking a gift and making, you know, you're just wrapping something because Pentecostal believes that you have to speak in tongues. Yeah. That's a sign, an evidence. What did Brother Branham say the evidence of the Holy Spirit was? He says to receive the word for your day. He had an interview with the sister. And she was saying, Brother Branham, I just want to know, do I have the Holy Spirit? And Brother Branham said, sister, I've combed through your life. With this gift of my life combed, and I see nothing that tells me otherwise. And she said, but I make so many mistakes. And Brother Branham said, it's not the mistakes. That's why the blood is there. He says, sister, I believe you have the Holy Ghost. So here's a sister that makes so many mistakes, and the prophet combs through her life and can't even see him because the blood was there. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, he says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. He says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? He says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And some people stop right there. And they say, then I'm going to just covet earnestly the best gifts. And we ought to. But Paul goes on. And he says, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. So you mean there's something more important than just gifts in a church? He says, covet them. Seek after them. But I'm going to show you something more important. It's more excellent. It's better than what you think you have. And he goes into verse 1 of the next chapter and he says, this is the more excellent way. He says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and I don't have charity, which is love, he said, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, think about that. Though I could take the seven seals and I could explain it perfectly and I have just the right revelation, but if I don't have love and I'm busy here trying to throw off on another brother while he doesn't believe it like I do, he's wrong. And if you don't believe in my way, then you're lost. He says, I could have every knowledge, understand every single mystery. I could have listened to every message and know how to explain it. But if I don't have love, it serves me nothing. Nothing. But man has gone after the knowledge and understanding all mysteries. But they've put the cart before the horse. Because without the Holy Spirit, all they've done is made denominational message churches that say it is my way or the highway. And they set up men with special revelations. When God didn't send us an eighth messenger, God sent a seventh messenger, and he said, when this seventh messenger begins to sound, all the mysteries of God will be finished. Which means I don't need any other man's revelation. All I need is the message that God sent through a prophet. Amen. because it finished every mystery. And you know what? If there's something that I can't quite grasp, or something, people say, Brother Branham didn't touch on everything. If there's something he didn't give us, Brother Branham said, it says right here, seventh seal, stop. Don't go further. And if God would tell a prophet, stop, don't go further, then what business do I have trying to figure out what it was? What business does the church have trying to add to it when God told a prophet, stop? Which means if God told him to stop, then everything we need for a rapture is already there. Because he said this seventh message will forecome the coming, the second coming. So there's no need to add to it. Just stop. Just believe it. Just believe it. Brother Branham said, they said, Brother Branham, what should we do? He said, don't try to make all these fantastics. He said, just live a simple Christian life, which means to be Christ-like. To be like him. So don't try to seek the mystery and the knowledge and seek it. Just stop. Just ask God, God, whatever you want from me, reveal it to me. Feed on the word and then just live like Jesus lived. Love like Jesus loved. Forgive like Jesus forgave. That'll be a settled church. Brother Branham said, I'd rather have the wrong doctrine and the right spirit. That's powerful. Because today, many of us would rather have and are seeking after just the right doctrine, right doctrine, right doctrine, and have forgotten about the right spirit. And Paul says, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and if I don't have love, charity, I am nothing. He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, if I give my body to be burned and I don't love God. So somebody can give their body to be burned and not have the love of God in them. It profiteth me nothing. He says, now this is what love is. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Think about yourself. I'm thinking about myself. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. What did Brother Branham say eternal life was? Living for others. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Charity, love, doesn't rejoice when somebody falls and says, I knew they were going to fall. I knew that young person couldn't make it. I knew they were just faking it when they went to the altar. Now look at them where they are. Charity doesn't puff itself up. It doesn't rejoice in evil, but it suffers long. He says, it beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. He says, charity never fails. Now, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. And whether there be tongues, they're going to cease. We need them. They're in the body. They're in the church, but they're going to cease. Whether there be knowledge, it's going to vanish away. Listen to what Paul says. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. We prophesy. There's gifts in the church. There's healing. There's speaking in tongues. But that's just in part. Because there's going to come a time when that will be no more. We won't need healing on the other side. We won't need speaking in tongues on the other side. There'll be no need for prophecy over there because it'll be all whole. It'll be perfect as God ordained it. There'll be no more need to edify because there'll be perfection. So these gifts will cease. We need them now. I need healing now because my boys get sick, because I get sick. Your little niece needs healing now. But on the other side, there'll be no need for healing because there'll be no sickness. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no need to pray for a lost loved one because they'll be there made whole. And yet the church has gone after these things that will cease. And they've sought after them and seeked them and coveted after them more than they should when it's going to cease. Paul says this is the more excellent way. You could exercise nothing, but if you have the love of God, which is this message in the Holy Spirit in your heart, that's all you need. And Brother Branham said the exact same thing. And God told him the exact same thing. Because he went beyond the curtain of time. And he said he got there and it was perfection. And he said all these young ladies and all these young men. And he said the young ladies would come hug him. And he said there was no feeling there as we have now. He says here we ought not to hug brothers and sisters because there's feelings. But he said on that side none of that was there. Sin was gone. And he looked around and he said, what is this? And he said, the voice said, these are your people. And he thought, these are all Branhams? And he said, no, these are your converts. And we know what he said. He said, they're going to be here and stand judged with you by what you preach. And he said, will Paul and his group be judged? And he said, yes. And he said, well, if he makes it, we'll make it because I preached what Paul preached. And all those souls, thousands upon millions, said, we are resting on that. And Brother Branham's there, and he says, still can't quite understand what this is. And he says, what is this? And the voice says, this is divine love. Everything you've ever preached, everything you've ever believed, here it is, divine love. And it's the voice said, nothing can enter here without it. And Brother Branham said, when he came to, he said, I am more convinced than ever that it will take divine love to make it there. Here's a prophet who's seen miracles, who has seen it all, dead raised, tumors fall. And he says, it'll take divine love to get to that place. The Bible says, they'll come to me and they'll say, haven't I done so many wonderful works in your name? And he said, depart from me, for I never even knew you. She is flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, power of his power. She is him. What are we looking at? How are we trying to be like him? Brother Caper sang that song, Lily of the Valley, let your love flow through me. The sister sang the song, let everything I do for Jesus be love. Yes, right. Love. Because you could exercise every single gift and miss it all. But if you have divine love, it'll only take divine love to get to this place. And when you have love, when you believe and have love, then watch all the gifts start coming in place. Because Brother Branham said, faith and love go together and they operate the gifts. So we said it's an introspective service. Look at ourselves. Lord, then help me. This ought to be our prayer. Help me to be like you. And when I say, Lord, help me to be like you, help me to love like you loved. Help me to forgive like you forgave. Help me to be like you, and you'll add everything else. The Bible says, these signs shall follow. Lord, let me just believe and let these signs follow. Let's all stand. Brother Branham says, and that's what we're supposed to do. Reflect the Son of God. And now we're supposed to do his work. He said, he that believeth on me, St. John 14:7, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. You're beginning to reflect the works of Christ. But he says, but so many of us try to do the works of Christ before the reflection of Christ is in us. He said, now there's the trouble. We find those things happening. You know it, and I know it. We see these stumbles along the road. We find a scrap heap of ministers and of Christians piled along the road is because they didn't go into it right. The stature of a perfect man. So, Father, let's all bow our heads. That ought to be our prayer, the prayer of every single individual in this church. Lord, I don't want to just go after the works. Let your reflection be in me first. And everything else will take care of itself. You realize it's God that operates the gifts? It's God that heals, not a man. It's God that saves, not a parent or a preacher. And it's God that forgives. And if it's God that does all that, then our desire ought to be, Lord, let you come in and flow through us. We said it was an introspective service. So if there's any here that can look at our lives, and we all ought to look and realize, Lord, I've fallen short. Maybe I've had my eyes on the wrong thing. Maybe I haven't quite acted how you acted. Lord, you forgave the unforgivable. You loved the unlovable. You were patient. You didn't give up on anybody. Peter looked at you, and you knew he was going to betray you. And you said, I have prayed for you. Not Peter, I knew you would do this, but I have prayed for you. And when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. Notice Jesus didn't give up on his own. The Bible says, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. And here we are, we're at the end time, and that word holds true. Jesus loves his own till the end. So Father, my prayer for this church, Lord, for each individual, Father, is that your love, Lord, would flow through us. Father, you gave us this message. It's a precious message. And you didn't give it to us, Lord, just to puff us up, to make us think we're somebody. But you gave it to us, Lord, that we might be partakers of your divine nature. Lord, your prophet said, not for one moment do I come to make men followers, but I come to establish a relationship between man and Jesus Christ. And Father, I believe that's the desire of every body here, every minister, every church that believes your word, is we want to see established a relationship between your bride and you, Father. Your prophet said she is bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. She is him. She is power of his power. Father, then let us look at what real power is, and that's your divine nature, Lord. Let us forgive like you forgave, Father. Lord, let us love like you loved. Let your love flow through us, Father, and you'll take care of the rest, Father. You promised it, Lord. You sent us this message to rapture us. We don't have to figure out how it's going to happen. We just know it will happen. We believe it, Lord. Then may you bless this church, Father, and each individual, Lord. May you draw us all closer to you, Father. And as we title the service, help us all to be like Jesus. Lord, if there's any that has sinned, Father, may it be forgiven them, Father. If there's any sick, let them be healed, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. For faith cometh by hearing. And the Bible says you sent your word and you healed our disease, Father. We believe it, Lord. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this time. May you bless this church. Help them to grow, Father. Not as the world sees growth of just numbers, Father. Though you can do that, but Lord, help them to grow in faith and in maturity, and to draw closer to you, this beacon of light you've placed in West Palm Beach, Father. May you bless them, Lord. And as they go out, Father, may they go out with your love in them to show the world that Jesus is alive. May you grant it, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we commit ourselves to you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
I am available to you. Sing, Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I do what you say. Do use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable me to say, my storage is empty and I am available to you.
Come on, one more time.
Sing, Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I do what you say. Do use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable me to say, my story. is empty, and I am available to you.
Praise the Lord. Let's give our God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. What a message. Sometimes when you look in the mirror of the word and you just look at yourself and you're like, Lord, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. This is one of those messages that makes you just check your soul and say, Lord, I need help in this area. I want to be right before you. I want to be effective in this earth. I want to be a help to the kingdom of God to help people. I'm so grateful that Brother Juan yielded himself to the Lord. Hallelujah. And if you actually sit back and just think, you will see how that message connected with the message Brother Troy brought.
Amen. Amen.
Right in the same vein.
Amen.
You got to love one another.
Amen.
Jesus loved you. You have to love one another. You can't be effective not loving one another. I don't care how much knowledge, power you have. You gotta love. Amen. Come on.
My storage.
Say my story.
I'm available. My story.
I'm available to you, Lord.
Hey, my story. I'm available. My story. I'm available. Say my stories. And I am available to you.
Hallelujah.
He is jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions, eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are. Your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us all. How he loves. How he loves us all. He loves us, oh, how he loves us, oh, how he loves us, oh, how he loves us, he loves us, oh, how he loves us, oh.
Great God, our Father, we thank you for the love of God, Lord, that flows in our hearts just now. Father, hearing your word, Lord God, and knowing, Lord Jesus, that we must have divine love. Father God, that means we need a transformation in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Father, we don't want to just live with a filial love, Lord. We want that agape love, Lord. Father, that we can love our enemies, Lord, the way that we ought to, Lord. You didn't come to this world to condemn it, Lord Jesus. You came, Lord God, that you can impart eternal life, Lord God. And Father, that's the greater works, to impart eternal life, Father. When you were here upon the earth, Lord God, you were still upon the earth, so the Holy Ghost couldn't come. You couldn't impart eternal life to the sinner. But after the day of Pentecost, Lord Jesus, you left the work for your church to do, Lord Jesus. And that was to win souls to you, to impart eternal life, Lord Jesus. So, Father God, I pray, Lord God, as we walk out of this place and go out into the world, Father, we go with a purpose to save and not condemn, to testify of the goodness of the Lord, to speak of your saving grace, Lord. Father, the one that has given us mercy, Lord Jesus, wants to live, Lord God, in the sinner that would repent, Lord God, and make things right with you, Lord. Father, we can't convict the heart, Lord, but you can do the work. We just need to live a life. We just need to testify and speak a word, Lord Jesus. And Father, if we plant the seed, you will water it day and night, Lord Jesus. So Father, help us, Lord, to be available to you. Father, we want to always be available, Lord. When the boss is screaming at us, Lord, the customers, Lord, are cursing at us, Lord Jesus, we want to be available to you to change a situation. Father, we don't know what that person has just gone through, Lord Jesus. Father, they could have had such an event take place, Lord, that they are in shock and don't know what's going on. Father, they don't mean to speak to us in a certain way. But Father, we have something, Lord. Silver and gold have we not, Lord God, but such as we have, we give to them, Lord, and that's the Holy Ghost. So Father, help us to be yielded to you, that at any instance, Lord God, you may do a wonderful work in somebody's life. Father, that the divine love, Lord, may take over, Father God, and change the direction that they're going in, Lord, that we may spend eternity with them. Father, thank you for what you have done in our lives today. Thank you for speaking in our hearts. Thank you for drawing us closer. Thank you for making us more like Jesus. Now may we die daily, Lord Jesus, that you may have complete preeminence in us all. Be with Brother Juan and his family as they get back on the road. Father God, may they receive safe passage, Lord, to their home. Be with the saints, Lord, each one, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord Jesus, and go to our respective places. Bring Brother Jack and the family back safely, Lord, and may each one that's in the family, make they go back to their respective home. And may the word that they heard and the God that is the word go with them, each one. Father, we love you, Lord. Thank you for moving amongst us today. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may have your seats. Amen. And our brothers to come and dismiss you at this time.
By the grace in his eyes, if grace is an ocean, we are sinking. So heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. No, I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. loves, he loves, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. How well we are his portion and he is our price. Drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. Grace is an ocean we are sinking. So heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. No, I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. He loves, he loves, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us.